What's up? It's Erin Carrera, and you're listening to The Erin Carrera Show on Thursday, May 2nd at 10 a.m. if you're listening live. And if you're listening in the archives, then it is whatever day and time it is, wherever you are, wherever you may happen to be. So a little bit of business before we get started. Last week, we began talking a lot about the ego, and today we're going to go through some ideas about how to use whatever's going on with our ego to overcome suffering or pain, or to work with or work through pain. If you like what you're hearing or you want to come work with me, come find me on onetolisten.com/Erin. That is Erin with an E, E-R-I-N. You will see there's all kinds of chat, phone call, and email-based services. And if you look at my email-based services, there's everything from EFT tapping sessions, to channeling, to life coaching. And if you would like to book a long 50-minute session at a greatly reduced price with me, which you can use for life coaching, astrology tarot, energy work, balancing chakras, EFT tapping, all of the above, whatever we can fit into 50 minutes of fun, or you want to do a deep dive life coaching session with me and really work on your mindset, really work on what you're working on in your life, what you're manifesting, what's blocking you. Well, there's a little Easter egg out there. And if you come find me on social media, that would be onetolistenerin on Instagram, Erin at the School for Heroines on Facebook, Erin Carrera, basically anywhere, you'll see in my bio a link to my link tree. And if you scroll down to about the middle of that link tree, you'll see book a life coaching session on onetolisten.com. You have to go there for the 50 minutes for $200 special because it is not available anywhere else publicly. It's a secret special little Easter egg for people who listen to this show. So if you would like that, go find it. And if you really can't find it or you want to email me and ask, just email me and ask. I'll send you the link. I can do that. That I will do. So, all right, let's talk about ego. So last week, we were talking about all the different ways that the ego is formed, how it serves us. And I thought that this week, it would be really important to talk about various ways that the ego can harm us, cause pain, get in the way, create pain. The ego in and of itself isn't bad, right? We need it, obviously, or we wouldn't just have it, right? It really helps us in life. And what it is it's the personality I that gets us through life. But it shouldn't be the leader of our life either. So I thought I would go through different ideas about the ego, gives tips on how do I know if something's going on with my ego, questions we can ask ourselves, and then give, you know, like questions we can ask ourselves to determine, okay, am I going through this? Is this getting in the way of my life? Is this causing pain? And give some tips to overcome that pain, to work through these obstacles, right? So let's begin with identifying with the ego. Now, this is a very normal, regular one, difficult to determine because it happens all the time and because it happens often without us realizing it, right? So a lot of times when let's say you're in conversation with a spouse or a stranger even, and they say something and you go into that immediate sense of resistance, you know what I'm talking about? Like, I'll give you a dumb example from my own life. So a lot of you know I'm a singer and a singer-songwriter and formerly a touring musician. And after I had spent my 20s and early 30s touring, I still had to have a day job. And the day job that I had, in addition to doing some psychic work, but especially in my late 20s, the day job I had was massage therapy. And I would sometimes go do corporate massage. And I remember telling one of the regulars at a corporate massage job that I had, mentioning that I was a singer. And he said, oh, you're a singer. You should come to this open mic night I go to at this coffee shop. And I was instantly offended. Now, he didn't know that I had toured the country in Europe, released albums, that I was semi-famous in South America, right? Like, he didn't know that I had played South by Southwest, a major music festival. He didn't know any of that about me because I wasn't at the level of fame that you would know. And he didn't listen, apparently, to college radio, and or I don't know, right? It doesn't matter. The point was, it was interesting how angry I found myself getting. And that was because his comment indicated to me that I was not at the level of fame that I perceived I should be at. He was not agreeing to my worldview of what I wanted for myself. He was just sharing something he thought would be cool that I might like, not knowing the level of singing I had done, not knowing the level of performance I was at. But my ego got involved. And I was particularly identified with that ego because being a singer is an identity career, right? It's a huge part of, if someone is a singer, that is a huge part of their identity. And it's very hard to unravel your ego from that identity, especially singing, because singing is a very vulnerable art form because your instrument is you. Your instrument is your body. Your voice, your technique, your capabilities is you and your heart out on the line. That's why so many singers are neurotics and control freaks and divas, right? Because it's so vulnerable. So that's an easy example of identification with the ego. But what are some signs that you might be egoically identified instead of being, what would the opposite of ego identification be? Would be to be present. To be present to the moment. For example, he could have said, you should come to this open mic night sometime. And I could say, that's a really nice suggestion. And then I could have told the truth. Well, currently I actually perform paying gigs, and singing at an open mic night probably makes sense if my paying gigs slow down and I need to drum up business or practice some new songs in front of an audience or go meet other largely amateur musicians seeking to become professional. Right? But that sounds like that sounds almost rude to my inner people pleaser Minnesotan, right? I could have just said, thanks for the suggestion. I'll see if I can take you up on it sometime, I could have just said, thanks for the suggestion. And then said, you should come to one of my gigs sometime, right? I could have just done it that way and been very cool. But the opposite of identifying with ego would be to be present to nature and present to myself. But I'll tell you, the ego is developed on purpose for a reason, right? It's developed from our history and also to help us get through life, right? Sometimes you might need that for survival or even just to gear up enough to sing publicly in the first place, right? So it's not that it's a bad thing, but here are some ways that you might tell that you're identified with the ego and that it's creating suffering in your life. Number one is if you have a constant sense of dissatisfaction. Right? Just like I had in my life at that time, I really did have a constant sense of dissatisfaction. No gig was ever enough until it was me performing, opening for Lady Gaga or something like that, right? Or me being Lady Gaga, really. Let's be real. Opening for her wouldn't have been enough for me at that time. I don't know if it would be now, but I'm telling you, I'd still love to do it. Right? A lack of fulfillment. I'll tell you one thing that really helped me with my ego regarding that identity career was when my music deal fell apart. Oh, it was so painful. So painful, I still want to cry. But I'll tell you what. I love singing, and because of that, I did a one-woman show about my love life. And because I did the one-woman show about my love life, I was able to deconstruct my emotional bad habits in love, and I was able to get healthy enough to meet my husband. And I was able to also understand my unhealthy habits as a singer, and I was able to start working therapeutically on singing and go back to school for opera and then choose not to sing opera but meet this other amazing voice teacher who taught me how to belt so that I can now sing pop, jazz, country, rock, opera. And now it's funny because I can sing anything and I love to sing and I'm still committed to being excellent and being the best singer I can personally be, Even if nothing ever happens with it, I just love singing. I just love to sing. Would I love to have amazing opportunities? Of course, but only because I love to sing, because I love it so much. And I want to always sing and always be able to sing. That's very different than needing a certain kind of career, needing to be Taylor Swift or Beyonce, right? Or whatever that looks like. Needing to be on Broadway, needing to be Linda Ronstadt, who did it all. So if you have a constant sense of dissatisfaction, a lack of fulfillment, if you are regularly caught up in your thoughts and emotions, these are signs that you may be identifying with the ego at a level that is harming you. When resistance comes, and it will, because resistance is normal, rather than letting it take you, right, being gone with the wind, gone with the ego, if you can, watch it. Watch the resistance. Watch your thinking. Take a deep breath in. And really, let's take a deep breath in together now. And out. And practice mindfulness. And practice that presence. And just become aware of your thoughts and your emotions and the reactions without judging them. And maybe don't even, right? Don't judge them. Don't judge yourself. Don't chastise yourself. Don't beat yourself up. And if you can, don't even identify with them. You can acknowledge that these thoughts, these emotions, these reactions are temporary and not a reflection of your true self. And I'll tell you, what somebody does know or doesn't know or thinks about you has nothing to do with what you think about you, right? So if we go back to my example, I knew that I was a real professional singer, even if he didn't know that. If I get on an airplane, which I'm getting on an airplane soon, right? Guaranteed that aside from a few people on that airplane, if, like somebody I may happen to know or somebody I may happen to talk to if they ask, or my husband who will be and a friend who will all be on the same airplane, nobody's going to know I'm a singer. Nobody's going to know I'm a psychic. What does that have to do with the price of fish, right? What does that have to do with the price of tea in China? I know that I work as a psychic. I know that I am a singer. I know that I'm the middle child. I know I'm a Pisces, right? It doesn't matter if somebody were to look at me and say, I have no idea who you are, what you do. What do you do, right? That's fine. I know I'm talking about a very specific example, but let's pick another example. You're at work. Let's say that you are at work and you have an idea and someone doesn't like your idea and you go into resistance and you get angry at them. That might be a sign that you are over-identified with your ego at work. Rather than getting angry, you can say, oh, would you like me to pitch some other ideas, come up with some other ideas? You can say, what is it you don't like about this idea? Because I like it. I'd like to think about it, right? You can stay open-minded, right? This is really getting to my next item, which is ego and content, right? Content. Ego and content. Now, ego and content, meaning we identify our ego identifies with and gains, perceives to gain power from our possessions, our knowledge, our status, our relationships to others. And how do you know you might be caught up in suffering or might be dealing with a problem of ego and content is if you are finding yourself comparing yourself to others, comparing your possessions, your car, your jewelry, your hair, your body, comparing your knowledge, comparing your career, comparing your relationship to other people's relationships. If you're feeling envious, if you feel superiority or inadequacy, right? You may be suffering from prioritizing your ego or validating your ego according to content. And you can work through this by understanding, of course, that material possessions, knowledge, social status, relationships, even a career doesn't identify you. Even an identity career like I am a singer, I am a psychic, I am a teacher, I am a doctor, I am a lawyer, right? Identity careers compared to I work in spiritual healing, I work in the bank, I work in education, right? These things are a part of your life. They're an important part of your life. You know, your material possessions don't define you. You can't take it with you, right? Your knowledge, believe it or not, doesn't define you. Have you ever spoken with somebody who gets really angry if you disagree about a point about astrology, or someone who gets really angry that you love astrology or that you don't love astrology, right? Politics is a big one, right? If you can, cultivate contentment and gratitude for the things you have, being grateful for what you do have. And if you find yourself comparing yourself to others or comparing your things to others, ask some deep questions. Why? Why am I comparing myself to others? Why am I comparing myself to the neighbors? Why am I trying to keep up with the Joneses or the Kardashians, as the case may be? Why? What's that about? What's underneath that? Is this how I really want to spend my time? Is there something deeper here? This brings me to my next item, which is structure, culture, and societal structures. This one is so difficult, especially where I live in Los Angeles. Particularly, I live between West Hollywood and Beverly Hills, right? I live Beverly Hills adjacent. I'm in Los Angeles, so now anyone who knows Los Angeles well knows where I live. It is ground zero for image issues, self-image issues, right? But we're talking about things that affect a lot of Westerners, but a lot of people in general, right? If you are overly attached to your appearance, and I honestly don't know too many people in the modern world who are not, simply because of social media. We're all supposed to be a certain way. And this isn't just in the West. You know, I have a friend who's Chinese. She's from China. And she told me that as an actress, there was a lot of pressure for her to get a specific kind of facial reconstruction surgery to get a very specific kind of narrow face that was very attractive that would make her successful as an actress in China. Instead, she moved here and now she's a very successful comedian here. But becoming overly attached to your appearance, or even becoming overly attached to specific emotional states. That's a big one in the spiritual realm, right? Like, we're never supposed to get angry or mad or sad or be down, right? We have to always be positive, right? Which is impossible because that's not how life works. And it doesn't mean you're not spiritual if you have a bad day. It means you have life happening and you have opportunities to use your tools, right? Or intellectual abilities. Boy, that's a tough one, especially if it's important to try to keep our intellects and our brains working as well as possible to try to prevent Alzheimer's or dementia, of course. But I'll tell you, as somebody who used to be really smart and now who's somebody who's definitely not as smart as I once was, I don't know, let it go a little, right? I try to continuously use my brain in new ways to stave off things like dementia and other mental illnesses, but boy, fear of aging is such a big one. Fear of aging, fear of anxiety over intellectual challenges, emotional instability, these things, right? And one of the ways that we can work through this is by recognizing once again that your true self is a child of the divine. Your true self is a part of the oneness that is all of us. And if you can practice self-compassion and self-acceptance toward all aspects of your being, right? This is like last week we did some EFT tapping and we completely love and accept ourselves. And that's hard, right? Like if I think about areas where I don't completely love and accept myself, right? I've talked a lot on the show about my legs, which is interesting because, you know, depending on what circle you run in, very muscular legs are in fashion, or maybe they're not now because of Ozempic. I don't know. I don't care. I've decided I don't give a shit. I'm going to completely love and accept my legs, especially now that I'm middle-aged and I don't want to love and accept them. I mean, maybe someday some days I feel like I look beautiful or something, but it's more about I want to be grateful for my body sustaining me. For my body, my heart's still beating despite decades of eating disorders. My body's still working and functioning despite car accidents and motorcycle accidents. I'm still alive. I've nearly died a few times. Like, I'm so grateful that I get to watch my niece sing in her senior choir concert, that I get to read books to my nephew, that I get to hug my mother and father and mother-in-law, that I get to be on a journey with my husband. I'm so grateful for all of this. I'm so grateful. I want to completely love and accept myself and practice compassion to others as well. Like I talked about last week, also because I want to be the change that I wish to see in the world. So I wish the world was not ageist. So that means I have to become not ageist, and that includes with myself. I mean, it doesn't mean that I'm going to stop dyeing my hair, to be honest. I am going to keep dyeing my hair. I have grays. I'm going to keep dyeing them. And I'm going to, you know, get facials and use my skincare. I don't know if that's, honestly, I really want to deep dive on myself and be like, well, if I completely loved and accept myself, would I still dye my hair? But I also love and accept the part of myself that is a performer and that lives in a culture where certain things are prized and that I like to play with my appearance, right? I have moods and I like to play with that. So I'm going to completely love and accept the part of myself that doesn't know. Right? Okay, next. This one I have in spades. The ego, a need to stand out, to be unique, to be so wildly different than everybody else. In 12-step, right, we call it the, to be, you know, so unique, chronically unique. I'm so unique. And the truth is I am unique, but also I'm not that. I mean, I'm not. And I am special, right? We're all like little snowflakes. We're all individuals. But when it gets in the way is when we want to be seen as better than others. And when we are judging other people as worse than us, because then we are therefore once again judging ourselves as being better than some and worse than some. This extreme desire to be the center of attention. I love attention, but I love attention for specific reasons, of course. Like, I don't want to be the center of attention for things like negative things, only for singing, being competitive. Oh, I'm super competitive. Yeah. I have to work really hard when I play games to just not be competitive. And I don't think there's necessarily inherently anything wrong with being competitive, but it's when it gets to the point where it's damaging, right? Where you will forego your integrity. I myself work on being not competitive just as a spiritual practice, right? Rather than being competitive with others, I wish to be competitive with myself and be committed to excellence. Oh, a big one is if you have resentment against people who outshine you, and that is dangerous because then you could lose friendships. If you're playing just a friendly game of pickleball, if you start resenting people who beat you often, right? And then you get caught in a loop where you might believe that they're always going to beat you, and then you don't get better and you don't commit to your own self. And a real danger is a sense of worthlessness or a sense of low self-esteem or a sense of not being good enough when you don't stand out. Judging yourself, again, not having compassion for yourself. So what can you do if you're suffering in this way or your ego is getting in the way in this way? I'm going to use a word that isn't very popular in 2024, but I think is important, and that word is humility. You know, my whole life changed when I began to see my gifts as gifts and being grateful for them. And I told God, I told the divine that I wanted to be of service. I was grateful for my gifts and I would use them to be of service to others. So that it wasn't about aggrandizing myself as a psychic or aggrandizing myself as a writer or a performer. It was about being grateful for the gift and using that to the best of my ability to be of service to love. And that includes loving the world, loving people, loving what's in front of me. That doesn't mean loving no matter what, like having bad boundaries or not standing up for justice or not standing up for what's right. But I kind of think that our culture needs to practice more humility again, to care about our fellows more again. And I see it. I see some of it. Like just today, the day I'm recording this, because I'm pre-recording this because I'll be out of town May 1st through 3rd. So my husband and I went for a walk and our neighbors were having a yard sale and we stopped to chat with all the neighbors. One of our old former neighbor was visiting. And there was a homeless person who was trying on a bunch of the clothes and maybe taking them. I mean, the fear would be stealing them, but this was a clearly mentally ill homeless person. They smelled pretty badly, as if they had urinated on themselves repeatedly, hadn't had a shower in a long time. And someone called the number for the social workers to come help this person, which is way more important than yelling at this person saying, go away, or screw you, fuck off, or you don't belong here, or even calling the police, although in Los Angeles they'll say if it's not life-threatening, you must call this number. So it was an attempt to be kind to that person rather than mean. And of course, this person didn't want us to speak with them, but people were attempting to speak with them to help them. And I really loved that. It kind of made me cry a little. I kind of want to cry now talking about it because that person is not separate from us, right? Just because she, or they, I don't know if they have a gender identity or not, but just because she was clearly unwell, well, you know what? My neighbor who was visiting us isn't mentally unwell, but she's unwell in her body. She's elderly and parts of her body don't work anymore. Some of us might be unwell in other ways that aren't visible, but the people who live on the streets are unwell in that way. Now, when we need to stand out, if we can practice humility for ourselves and acknowledge and appreciate the value and worth of the value and worth of others as well as ourselves, and affirm that we all have value, we are all children of the divine, and try to look for what's good in people. Try to see that everyone has unique talents and abilities. And honestly, there isn't really need for comparison or competition. I mean, it's like when you watch the Oscars and they pick the best actor, it's ridiculous, right? They're all awesome. If you think about who your favorite singers are, and somebody else is going to have different singers because all of these singers are amazing, whether they're famous or not, you know? It's like, is Bon Jovi better than Bruce Springsteen? They're both amazing, right? Now, you might love one more than the other, but they're both incredible songwriters, performers, vocalists in different ways, right? I love Whitney Houston. I love Linda Ronstadt. I really like Lana Del Rey. I really like Taylor Swift. I love Annie Lennox. Yeah, I'm a woman of a certain age, right? I'm trying to think of a current young singer that I really love. I really like that, I think her name is Jay. She was on Saturday Night Live a couple weeks back. Like, right? They're all amazing. They're all amazing. The woman who, last week I went to see Funny Girl at the Amundsen, the national tour of Funny Girl, and the woman, I forget her last name. Go look her up, though. Amazing vocalist. She was amazing. See, they're all amazing. She's not necessarily a household name, even though maybe she should be. She was amazing. Amazing. Maybe she will be someday. Maybe she'll be the next Barbara or Judy or Liza. I don't know. She's amazing. The next Idina Menzel, right? But to compare them now, think about singers you know in your own hometown, singers who are friends of you. Now, maybe those are friends of yours. But think about yourself. You're amazing too. And in a way, it's sort of like saying, well, roses are more beautiful than irises. Oh, they're all flowers. They're all beautiful. Okay, here's a big one, a difficult one. Hold on, I have to close the curtain. Ha, 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 ha. Live theater, folks. It's pre-recorded, but anyway, here we are. The illusion of separateness, which is kind of what a lot of this is, right? The illusion of separateness. Now, some of that is important because we are here on Earth, in Earth school, having individual lives, getting through the world as individual people, having individual things happen. But we're still part of one species, one planet, one totality, right? And the way that this can get out of control is if we start being so isolated or disconnected from other people, and we start having such deep and desperate and terrible feelings of loneliness or indifference or hostility towards people, especially the people who are different from us. This is a big one right now in this world, folks. We see it with what's happening with Israel and Gaza. We see it with what's happening politically around the world. We are not separate. I know I kind of preach, and maybe I'm preaching to the choir, but I really think it's important for us to try to connect to each other again. And yes, it's, you know, I was just reading in the New York Times an article about a small town in New Hampshire where the political divide, people used to not, either they could talk through things or they could just not talk about certain comparative religious or political beliefs to remain friends. And then this one lady stopped being able to do that, and she started trying to crusade for her particular political and religious ideology to rule over other people. And it was a very painful article to read because many people stopped being friends. They really wanted to remain friends with her, but she almost wouldn't let them. But she insisted that she could be friends with them. They just needed to understand what God wanted for them. Oh, I just kind of outed what was happening a little more than I wished to, but because it can happen anytime with any person, right? But I still believe we can cultivate empathy and compassion for other people and understand that really, at a fundamental level, we are all interconnected. We are really not that separate from one another. And I still believe in engaging in random acts of kindness and doing service and even just being a neighbor, just being a part of a community, just reaching out to someone. You know, years ago, back before 2012, I had this group I was a part of, and we had a practice where if we were feeling bad about ourselves or blue or lonely, the action to counteract that was to reach out to somebody and ask how they were doing. To reach out, if we could, if we needed help, to ask for help, but if not, just to reach out. And to reach out to five somebodies if we had to. Or to go practice service. To get over the illusion of separateness. To connect to other people. I know what it's like to be painfully shy. I was painfully shy as a little girl. And I'm not now. Because I understand that we're all in this together. We really are. And now I'm an adult. I've learned how to talk to anybody for purposes of my dreams. And now I can just talk to anybody about anything. I mean, I don't know about anybody about anything. But I can talk to almost anybody and find some common ground. I've done it. I've proved it to myself time and time again. The hardest part for me actually is sometimes like, you know, Hollywood parties where people just want to do small talk, because I'm not really a small talk person. I'm a deep talk person. So I've had people look at me confused and walk away at Hollywood parties, but, you know, eventually that person probably comes around again anyway, because I have room for people. All right, here's a big one, which was, we started talking about it, but it's kind of one of the biggest one of all, which is resistance to the present moment. But I'm going to go deeper on that, which is, are you constantly ruminating over the past? Oh, I have that. Regretting the actions you did in the past and then thinking that your life is ruined today because of regret from the past. Oh, that would be me, folks. I don't do it anymore. It still rears its ugly head sometimes as a habit, but I try not to engage. Frequently worrying about the future, having so much regret, worry, anxiety, and then therefore disconnecting from your current environment, disconnecting from your situation. And if, you know, from trauma, this happens a lot, just completely dissociating, completely leaving your body. I think it's very important to practice those body scans that we do a lot on this show. We haven't done them in a little while, but right? Just practice it with me for a moment. Take a deep breath in and out. And now we're going to walk through parts of the body. I just want you to imagine that you can breathe into the parts of the body that I mentioned. Imagine you can breathe into the bottoms of your feet. Imagine you're breathing into the bottoms of your feet and out. Imagine that you can breathe into your left leg and out. And you breathe into your right leg and out. Breathe into your booty and out. Breathe into your lower abdomen and out. Breathe into your upper abdomen and out. Breathe into your heart space and exhale. Breathe into your left arm. Exhale. Breathe into your right arm. Exhale. Breathe into your left side of your back. Exhale. Breathe into the right side of your back. Exhale. Breathe into the left side of your neck and the right side of your neck and exhale. Breathe into your throat chakra and exhale. Breathe into the back of your head and exhale. And now I just want you to place your attention on the left side of your head, the right side of your head, the top of your head, your forehead, your left eye, your right eye, your nose, your jaw. And I want you to just take a nice, long, slow, deep breath in and see if you're in your body, right? See if you can engage as fully as possible from time to time with the present moment, whether you're working, eating, walking, or sometimes even just breathing, right? Cultivate a sense of curiosity and openness about what's happening right now. One of the things I do sometimes is rather than bring my phone on a walk, or I'll bring my phone because maybe I'm waiting for a message or to count my steps or whatever, but I'll keep my phone in my pocket and I will look for 11 beautiful things on my walk. And then if I find 11 beautiful things, then I'll look for 11 things I never noticed before. And then if I find 11 things I never noticed before, maybe I'll look for 11 things I never thought to even think of before. Right? It's fun. Okay, finally, ego and pain. And this is hard because trauma takes a hold and sometimes creates an aspect of our identity that we wouldn't choose, of course, on our own. If you're often experiencing emotional turmoil, anger, jealousy, fear, sadness, re-traumatizing yourself, re-evaluating again and again whether or not you made the right decision about a job or a college or a boy or a girl, a relationship, a person, frequently feeling very defensive or victimized, this is often your ego identifying with pain. And I know you want to say, no, it's not my fault. It's okay, honey. It's okay. I'm showing you something to help you release that cycle. Now, if this is deep, deep trauma from violence, please don't do this without a professional. Please do seek professional help. But I really encourage you to practice self-compassion. Practice mindfulness. If you can, acknowledge what you're going through without judgment and look to see if you're identifying with victim or defense or trauma. Well, my life sucks because I didn't get to go to the college I wanted to go to because my parents wouldn't let me, right? That was my rallying cry for a long time. I mean, at a certain point, you're a grown person and you can really help yourself. You really can. So seek professional help if and when you can, if and when you need. But then in the meantime, I really would love for you to engage in practices that promote well-being, meditation, yoga, self-care, things that bring you joy and pleasure, things that nurture you, healing practices, EFT tapping, right? All right, friends, this is the end of this week's episode, and I'm cutting it a little short because I am having a very busy week. But I would love to speak with you. If you like what you're hearing, please come find me at 1-2-listen.com/Erin. If you are listening on Thursday, May 2nd, know that I'm going to be a little unavailable Thursday, May 2nd, Friday, May 3rd. But I'll be back Saturday, May 4th. And I would love to speak with you. It is one of my greatest joys. And we'll be back next week live. All right. Love you.